Proverbs. Continuing along in this marriage thing, Proverbs. Of course, these aren't just marriage principles. They'll help anybody. And you are what you are at home. If you're a grump everywhere, or you're a grump when you're single, you'd be a grump when you're married. I mean, saying I do does not transform you. And so if you live these things and are prepared, then you'll do well. And so anybody could use these principles here. And Proverbs chapter 13, we'll start there. In this mini-series on marriage, we're talking about causes of contention. Causes of contention. And you could do a little study on your own. Just, you know, the more I preach the Bible, the more I realize how much is in there and how amazing the Bible is. And the more I realize how much I have to preach and how much there is in there. And sometimes I start on a lesson and say, oh, this is two or three, four lessons, and but I've only got one time for one. And this morning, this message, I was going to be for this morning. There's too much. So it's going to be also tonight. And so if you wanted to study, you can look up a contentious person in the Bible. And Proverbs does a really good job of classifying people. Wise, fool, contentious, strange woman, wise man, simple, scorner. And it separates different types of people. And contentious people are in there a little bit. And that'll teach you a little bit about that. But I'm going to give you some causes of contention. If you're wise, and this is amazing, is most people aren't this wise, but if you're wise enough, we'll read a verse about that. Wise man understands it, the prudent understands his way. You will understand where the contention is coming from. You will say, you know, I know what why we always fight. I know what the problem is. I know what areas we have in. Even if you're not don't have it solved yet, a foolish person doesn't even know why. They go do the same things over and over and don't know why they do it. Right. Whether it's sin, whether it's contention, whether it's whatever. You can find the same person get married and divorced five times and never figure out why. Yep. He'll think he just met all bad ladies or she met all bad men. Because they don't know, understand their way. And so a wise person understands and they see this is what will cause contention. And a wise person in marriage, they will know, hey, this is going to cause a fight. They'll see it ahead of time and those things teach you those things. Proverbs 13, and by the way, in that, and this has nothing to do with the lesson. If you know what causes contention, you can avoid it, and I think that's good. But also, it'd be good if you can conquer it. Conquering is better than avoiding. Avoiding is better than nothing. And if it's something that and you could head things off, that's good. And I agree with that. You shouldn't put yourself in a situation of hardship and where it's going to be more difficult. But if you're on earth, you won't be able to avoid everything. And so you'd have to learn to conquer. Proverbs 13 and verse 9. The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by pride cometh contention, but with a well-advised is wisdom. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God. Thank you we get to study this. I pray today we'd understand a cause of contention, that we could avoid these things in life with people and in marriage. I pray you to help us, Lord, in these things and to get the wisdom to have the right type of marriages, to have the right type of homes, to the right type of lives that are contention-free. I pray that you would help us in these things and give us wisdom. We're not very good at this, Lord. We're contentious people. And I pray you would help us be sweet-spirited and kind and also see the things that cause contention and avoid those things if it's possible. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your finger right there, but I just want to go to Romans and chapter 12. And you might read this verse a little later. Romans 12:18 is a good verse. It says this, Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. It doesn't say you can do it, but as much as lies in you. And that's a lot. That's the very, very as hard as you can possibly. You couldn't have tried harder if they're going to give you $1 million to do it. Trying hard. As much as lies in you, try to live peaceably with all men. Now, understand, we as Christians will face persecution. That's part of the deal. It's if they hated me, they'll hate you also. And last days, perilous times shall come, and all those things. We know that. But I think our church has avoided a lot of contention because he that hath friends must show himself friendly, and because you're kind and you're loving. We go out of our way to go the extra mile. We had people in the building program that didn't treat us right, and we went over the top and were friends with them and nice to them and kind to them anyway. I think you can. There's a lot you can do. You can go over the top and be kind and go out of your way. As much as lies in you, live peacefully with all men. Try your hardest. There's just situations where you can't always, but you do your very best. We see some reasons for contention. I want to say we want to find the root causes of contention and avoid them. Proverbs 22. Find the root causes. We started talking about that a little bit. And avoid them. Proverbs 22 and verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. Prudent people, and prudence has to do with foresight and knowing what's going on ahead of time. And then Proverbs 27 and verse 12 again. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and they're punished. So prudent people, they see the issue, they see the problem, and they hide themselves, and they try to avoid it, and they do that. And then Proverbs chapter 14, and what I talked about a little bit there, and verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. So, you have faults in you. You have quirks. You have things that are. Now there's a few people who are just wonderful, and they just seem like they're so easy to get along with, and always do the right, always are sweet spirit, and always find a way to be the servant and all those things, and they don't struggle. Some people are just so sweet spirited they don't struggle very much with contention and strife. And most of us, we know there are certain things that push our buttons, right. And we know. There's certain things we don't think clearly in. Hopefully you know that. You are quirky. And one of the hardest things in dealing with people is to just stop and say, you know you're weird about that, right? Because many people don't know they're weird. You are weird in some areas. If you don't know that about yourself, you are. Okay? I'm weird in some areas. And I'm my wife always laughs at me because I laugh at everything. Everything's funny to me. And she says, I don't know how you do it, but you can joke about people's weirdness and you pick on them about it. And I do. I let them know they're weird. Ron, don't always pick on you about fancy paint. Ron is a...
That's not weird.
Ron, if it was going to rust away for eternity or use bad paint... He says, let it rust. We're not putting bad paint on anything. And Ron is a painter, and he's a super good and meticulous painter. And all this, paint is paint, Ron. Come on. And I love to do that just to push his buttons because I'm cantankerous. And we all have, and I know we all have little things where we're like this, and oh, I've got to sleep this much. And I'll say, well, I'm going to call you 3 a.m. just because you know. We're all kind of weird. We all have little things. There's certain people that cannot be a piece of dirt on the ground. They just stare at it. They can't stop looking back. And we're all weird about that. We're all strange about that. There's somebody else, if you talk loud in the morning, they're going to freak out. Another person, if they don't have the cup of coffee, don't even bother going near them. And another person, if they don't get certain things and they're grumpy. Another person, if you roll the toothpaste up from the bottom, they freak out or whatever. You know, we all got little things, we're quirky. The wise man understands his way. I understand that stuff. I understand certain things about me. That'll make me contentious. It'll make me struggle with being frustrated and angry. I can undersleep, but I can't oversleep. If I'm oversleep, I am miserable and grumpy. If I get too much caffeine, avoid me because I am not sweet. It doesn't take that, but caffeine really affects me, and it'll wake me up. And I can use that to my advantage sometimes. but caffeine affects me. And if I get too much caffeine, hide all the sharp objects and don't make me mad. I'll turn green and rip my clothes. And so know those things about me, know those things about you, and know where you're going to find out where you're going to be. You're going to struggle with, find out what bothers you and see your way and know your way, because we got to know ourselves. We've got to know how to avoid conflict in these things and foresee the evil and hide yourself and try to avoid that. Don't marry somebody, no matter how beautiful they are, who has characteristic traits that drive you crazy. Okay? Now, you're going to have, any two people are different, but don't foresee the evil and understand that and try to fix that. So, what causes contention? We read the first one, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10. First one is pride. Only by pride comes contention. Only by pride comes contention. So, how does that come out? It manifests in a lot of ways. First of all, it comes out really simply as you don't have the ability to say I'm wrong. That's pride. We're so proud we can be in the middle of an argument and know we're wrong. And keep on arguing our point when we know we're wrong. Only by pride comes contention. When you can say, you know what? You're right, I'm wrong. Isn't that hard? It's amazing how hard those words are. And the other thing, pride keeps us from saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, I want to say this. If the other person's 70% wrong and you're 30% wrong, let's say they really just were just mean and nasty and terrible to you today, and you and all day long they're mean, and then you blew it one time and you just screamed and yelled at them. You need to be sorry for when you screamed and yelled at them. Right. Now, they did wrong. Understand that. They did wrong. However, you did wrong also, and they didn't force you. You have free will. And so you've got to learn, we have such a problem with this, where people so often, they will do wrong and blame it because of this and this person and this person. Listen, they did wrong and you did wrong. And pride keeps us from saying I'm sorry when you did wrong. Pride keeps us from saying we're sorry when it's all our fault. It's just a tough thing. And you've got to learn to be able to say I was wrong and I'm sorry. Your pride is the only thing that will stop that. I don't want to look bad. I want to win. I want to be the one who wins, and all those things that pride does. Sometimes you'll find out you can diffuse a situation when you let them think they're right, even if they're not. You know, everything is not, this is the deity of Jesus Christ. Everything's not like that important. Deity of Jesus Christ, you know, fight about. But if they say, you said this, and you didn't say it, you say, no, I didn't. Yes, you did. You did say that. No, I really didn't say that. You said that. Okay, whatever. Well, I didn't say that. So? Let them win. Get rid of your pride. It's okay. As much as lies in you, you don't have to say, okay, yes, I did say that. That's lying. You say, okay. So, isn't it a beautiful day outside? But it takes you, we have to be able to remove our pride to do that. You know, some people will argue about everything. You know, I would just say, you know, if you want to argue, go ahead and argue. I'm just not going to join you. You know? And pride keeps them from being able to do that. You just say, okay, whatever. And just avoid the conflict. But pride keeps us from doing that. Pride will keep from being a servant and doing it their way. Isn't it amazing the way Jesus was a servant? He taught us how to be. He took upon himself the form of a servant, and he washed their feet, and he served them and died for them. When they wouldn't even stay awake and pray for him, when he's in his worst hour, he still served them. And pride will keep you from going out of your way to serve them and being a blessing to them. We think of ourselves, and what are they doing for us? And are they doing what we want? And am I getting treated right? What about my rights? How about serving others? How about caring for them? How about being kind and saying, what do they need? What do they need? Every Monday, I cook breakfast for my family. It's just a Monday tradition, and we do that every week. And you know, I love breakfast. It's my favorite meal, and there's certain things I like in breakfast, but I like fried eggs better than scrambled eggs. My wife does not like fried eggs at all. You know what we have every Monday? Scrambled eggs. Why? Because I want her to be happy. I can eat either one. I can pretty much eat anything. Okay? But she doesn't like fried eggs. Well, I don't care. Maybe she should learn to eat them. Yeah, you can be like that. Or you can be a servant. Or you can be kind. You can say, what do they want? It's not all about us. Look not every man on the things of himself, but every man also on the things of others. Be a servant. Do things their way. You notice they're always cold in the house and you like it warmer, turn it up, the temperature up a little bit. Well, I don't like it hot. So? Yeah. Well, I don't like it. You've been raised an American. You get everything your way. Stop. You don't have to have everything your way. It doesn't have to be just perfect. The whole world does not revolve around you. Be a servant. Your pride keeps you from giving in. Our pride keeps us from letting them think they won. Our pride makes us keep arguing when it doesn't even matter who's right. Swallow your pride. Only by pride comes contention. And you can do it with anybody. It doesn't matter if you're the authority, if you're the one in charge, if you're the one who's the child. It doesn't matter in this situation. Learn to get rid of pride and learn to just be sweet-spirited. There are certain things we can't compromise on. We understand that. But as much as lies in me, live peaceably with all men. Do the very best you can and try to do those things. I think one of the great phrases I heard, it's not in the Bible, it's just a great phrase, is I'd rather you have it than me. It's serving. And it's hard, but our pride, only by pride comes contention. Now, one person can be so proud there's contention when the other one isn't. There's contentious people who will fight with you. I understand that. But the less pride, the less strife. The more servants you have, the less fighting you'll have. Number two, things that cause contention is not being on the same page. Amos 3:3, if you want to try to find it, you can. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now understand, marriage is walking together more than anything else in the world. Even your children. Your children are going to grow up and get out of the home. Marriage should be a people who agree on stuff. 2 Corinthians 6 starts off with this, with marriage, and about yoking up. Can two walk together except they be agreed? I just want to say, at the offset, before marriage, if you are in different pages, you got a bad start. You're going to be different personalities. That's great. That's fine. But if you're on different pages, you're going different directions in life. If two people are starting to go apart, at the very start of a relationship, they're not very far apart. But if they're going different directions, give it 10 years. And by that time, you just keep projecting that angle, they're going to be way apart. And the Bible says that's why we should not be unequally yoked. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. I see God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come up from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. What agreement does God have with the evil things? Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You have to be in agreement. Listen, as a Christian, our whole life is serving God. We're living for eternity. An unsaved person, their life is themselves and living for this life, for this world. You already have a bad start. Your priorities are much different. But listen, you got to look at a lot of things. What if one person wants to travel and one person doesn't? What if one person wants a lot of kids and one person doesn't want any? You see all the disagreements you can have? You want someone who you want to, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You want to kind of be on the same page. I mean, you don't have to agree every little detail and every little thing. What if one has high standards for what they watch on television and the other one doesn't? That'll cause strife. What if one person wants a big yard and one person wants to live in the middle of the city? You see all these things if you're not thinking the same way? And the person who's crammed, who grew up in the country and wants to have a yard and wants to plant a garden, and says, no, I don't want to deal with those things. It grows and they have to mow it. And do you understand? You're not going to be, you want to be on the same page. And so before getting married, make sure you're going the same direction. What if one wants to go to church and the other one doesn't? What if one wants to raise your kids Christian and one wants to just let them be kids and be worldly in this world? And one wants them to go to Christian school and one wants to homeschool. One wants public school and one, what? You need to be in agreement, and you need to talk about things and know things, and then be going the same direction, and it's very important, and you may need to talk things through, to give into each other. The wife might need to submit to the husband in this thing because that's the way, because you gotta so at some point, here's the thing, if you got two different directions, at some point. You got to pick a direction. You got to say, you know what? We're going to live in the city, or we're going to live in the country, or we're going to have one kid, or we're going to have five kids, or we're going to... Somewhere along the way, you got to talk about it, and people are going to have to give in. And then when you do that, you have to agree. And say, okay, I didn't get everything I wanted. This isn't exactly like I wanted it to be. But can two walk together except they be agreed? And if you have two good Christians, you can do that. And you can, you're not always going to get everything you want. And if you get most of what you want in life, you're very fortunate. I think that's one thing that we have a very hard time in, is not getting what we want, because we're used to getting everything we want. We order what we want. We get everything we want. We're so unhistorical. Can you understand? If you grew up in England in 1600, you didn't matter how hard, you couldn't climb the ladder. If you're a serf, you're a serf. I mean, that's just the way life was. We're used to be able to earn and get and find a way and buy or charge or do whatever to get what we want, and we can get order custom what we're used to getting every, you know, all the options on the car and all that. We're used to that stuff, but life isn't normally like that. You can't dial up a spouse and say, I want a spouse that's this tall, this, they say this, they talk like this. You can't order one of those. There's only one perfect spouse, and my wife already got him. And so you can't get everything. Everything in life is not going to be just like you want it. Okay? And sometimes you have to say, you know what, it's not going to be perfect, but you know what, we're going to agree on this and do the best we can. And that's we're a sin-cursed world. In heaven, everything's perfect. And you might need to talk things through and come to some kind of agreement. Number three, what causes contention? Financial problems and financial disagreements. Oh, where are we at? Let's see. Let's go to 1 Timothy. The Bible associates family and money lots of times together, puts them together. I just want to just show you. Now, it doesn't say, you know, thou shalt not disagree in finances. But God puts a family in a financial context. There is a family financial context. And so 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So you see that the family, in verse 9, and let a widow that taken into the number of 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. And so we see, God has financial, a man is to provide for his home, okay? By the way, that's still true. Amen. The man's the provider. That's biblical, okay? We went through that different lesson. If a man doesn't provide, so it is a family finance, okay? I want you to understand that. We're getting too much into individual finances, okay, and the husband's money, the wife's money. There are gonna be times where I think I, you know, I think that everybody should have a little bit of spending money on their own, both spouses. I think that's fine. However, I think that you should be going one direction financially. I think you should be together, and you should come to agreement. You'll have, they say the number one cause of divorce is finances. It's the most common thing. And people, why? Because money is very powerful. And one person is earning it and thinks the other one's spending too much, or one's spending too much and one's trying to save, and all those things that can happen. And you got to be careful with your finances. Be very happy if you kind of agree on finances. Don't marry someone who's completely different from you on finances. If you're a saver and they're a spender, you will despise them. If they are a saver and you want to spend money and you have it, you're going to be so angry at them. You know, I mean, you don't have to be exactly the same, but be in the same realm there, okay? And you can have real problems with finances and real do that. I always tell couples is, it's usually better, you talk about it and you agree on things, but also let the person who's better with the money and more conservative with the money have the charge. Sometimes the husband is just can't stop spending. And if he's like that, then he probably should let the wife have control of the finances. He's still leading. He's letting her take the finances over. Okay? He's still leading. But I think that if she's better at paying the bills and he forgets to pay him and this and that, and if he can't agree on things, have one person paying the bills and find a way. Because finances can cause a big situation. I think one of the things you have to learn to do is if you're frustrated about something, stop and talk about it. Just say, hey, I just want to sit down. When you're calm, when you're not angry, not in the middle of a fight, bring it up. No. You sit down and say, listen, I feel like we're spending too much money. We're in debt. We're blowing money on this. Or you know, I feel like, man, I'm wearing rags and we got, you know, $10,000 sitting in the bank and we need to spend some money. I mean, talk about it. You're not angry. You just have communications on that stuff. And do that. And I think it's wise to let people have their own areas in the finances. For example, we just give a certain amount to my wife, and she chooses what she buys with groceries. She takes care of that. She does a way better job than I would do on it anyway. But I don't micromanage the thing at all. And so I think separating sometimes in areas might be helpful. Next, things that cause contention. We said pride, not being on the same page, financial problems and disagreements. There's other verses about that, about finances. I have some Proverbs and such. But next, in-laws. Proverbs chapter 22. This is a major problem in marriage, is in-laws. Did I say Proverbs? Matthew 19, sorry. Matthew 19. In-laws. And we dealt with this, so I won't deal with it too much. I thought a whole lesson on it. But Matthew chapter 19 and verse 5, it says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. And wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh, wherefore we got to join together, let not man put asunder. So in-laws are a big problem. Understand, biblically, your spouse is more important than your parents.
Amen.
Okay? And so you leave your father and mother. And so we understand that. You leave and cleave. Sometimes mommy and daddy want to keep being mommy and daddy when children are 30, and they want to interfere, and they want to run things. And I want to say, you honor your father and mother. You don't disrespect them, you don't scream and yell at them, you don't make a big deal, but if they're causing problems, don't let your parents criticize your spouse. Okay? They will do that. And don't, by the way, don't compare your spouse to your parents. Your mom had 30 years of cooking ahead of her. Okay, she got a big head start. Okay, Your dad had been working his career for a long time. Your husband's 25, and he's still trying to get it together financially. By the time he gets to be as old as your dad, he'll probably be like your dad more. Okay, don't compare him. Okay, and your parents grew and learned and matured and all those things. Listen, don't do that. But also realize, your in-laws should not come in and run your home. They shouldn't come in and say, what are you doing? You shouldn't do that, and you shouldn't do that. And you respectfully and honor, like you're supposed to do the parents, take them aside and say, Mom and Dad, listen, I love you guys. I know you know a lot more than us, but this is our home. This is the way we like it. We want to sleep on the floor. So don't criticize that. Well, I want your back to go bad. I know, Mom, I know. But you know what? This is our home. And if they can make suggestions, you can let them make suggestions. You can do that. But once they can come in and start causing problems. They can come in and start causing strife. They can start turning the husband and wife against each other. They can start really causing problems. Never live with your in-laws. Don't do that. You're supposed to leave. Okay, if they got a 40,000 square foot mansion with a wall in the middle that divides the two sections, okay, maybe, okay, but don't do that. You're supposed to leave and cleave. It's healthier. You don't need to be underneath their authority anymore. You're leaving and cleaving, and you are now a couple. And so you got to be very careful about that. They cause a lot of problems, and so I won't go too much into that, but I just want to say, be careful about that, and be careful about in-laws and them causing problems. Next, contentious outsiders. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 22. Contentious outsiders. This is something that causes a lot more problems. It always surprises me a little bit how far this goes. Proverbs 22. And verse 10, cast out the scorner, and contentions shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Proverbs 26 and 21, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Okay. In the Bible, there's what's called a contentious person, and there's also what's called a scorner, okay? Both those people, when they're around, strife breaks out. I don't know why. They might not be even part of the conversation. There's just something about them being there. It's like coals with coals. They make each other hotter and burn it up. There are certain people that you will know who, no matter where they go, there's always a fight. There's always drama. And somehow, if they're around you, you will have the drama, whether you want it or not. I'm not like them. Doesn't matter. Them being there causes drama. They don't know it about themselves. They just think everybody criticizes them for no reason. They think that they do not. They don't understand their way. It's fine. You're not going to explain it to them. Contentious people are contentious. People who bring strife. They just do. Wherever they are, there's a everything. It goes from being high, all of a sudden you're a little tighter, and pretty soon when they're around, everything's so tense. You're like, why are you looking at me funny? I mean, you just get so tense. They just are that person, okay? Contentious people will turn a spouse against a spouse. He shouldn't treat you that way. You shouldn't be talking about my spouse that way. Take a long walk on a short pier. Okay, that means jumping a lake. Okay, and you should. Those people will cause contention. I've watched a couple get divorced. I watched them fall apart. The girl had a real close friend before they got married, and they were so close. They're best friends, and then she met him, and they fell in love, and they got married, and that girl never let go of that, and never stopped missing her best friend, and was always planting seeds with that lady. Yeah, well, he doesn't do this very good. You notice he doesn't do this? I notice he doesn't like me. He doesn't invite me over. Well, I wonder why. And she pushed that girl's buttons and pushed her buttons and pushed her buttons until finally, guess who she left and moved back in with her. Ruined that marriage. and she and they I tried to step in there and I tried to say, would you get away from her? Well, she's right about some things. That's fine. She's ruining your marriage. Doesn't matter if she's a contentious person. Outsiders can cause, they just kindle strife. You will find certain people that you disagree on. My wife has said over different times, we need to be careful with this lady and just keep her away, and I trust her. Listen, there's just people that, I don't know why, you can do everything right, but they, when they're there, it just causes problems. Some of the things that cause problems that are contentious, that are outside things, is alcohol. Proverbs chapter 23. There are contentious people. There are contentious things. Alcohol brings contention. Proverbs 23 and verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentious? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? This is wine it's talking about. Verse 31. Look not upon the wine when it's red. This is all fermentation, when it giveth color in the cup and all those things. It says, who has contention? Those who've been drinking. Of course, if you don't know that, alcohol ruins a lot of marriages. I wasn't a Christian. I grew up around alcoholics. I watched it ruin their marriages. I was smart enough, and I was a drinker as a kid, and smart enough to know, man, that guy's a terrible husband because he drinks all the time. He's drunk, and he abuses his wife when he's drunk. Alcohol causes contentions. Bars have fights for a reason, because contention. Alcohol, don't, listen. Alcohol is wicked. Be not drunk with wine. Wine is a mocker, it says. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Amen. It'll cause strife in your home. Drugs, alcohol, all those things. Never put your mind under the power of anything. Ever. And avoid those things. Contentious people. Oh, we read Proverbs 22:10, but let's read it again here. Cast out the scorner, and the contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Gossips can cause problems. Proverbs, 26. Gossips can cause strife. They just cause all kinds of battles. Proverbs 26:21. It says, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is contention man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds and go down to the innermost part of the belly. And so we got to be careful about gossip. Now, I want to say this. No friendship or relative is worth your marriage. Amen. If they, when they are around, they cause you not to like each other and cause you to have strife, cause you to have fights in your home. No relationship is more important than a husband and a wife. Then you have to get rid of those people. And you say, but that's my mom, and why should he will not want me to be around my mom? You know what you say? You say, you know what? We do fight when about her. Let's go ahead and let's just discreetly and quietly not invite her over anymore. Because our marriage is more important. Maybe someday we'll be strong enough to be able to get this right and stuff like that. But our marriage is more important. Our marriage is more important than that. No friendship or other relationship is more important than your marriage. It's illustrated to Christian and God and the Bride of Christ. It's the highest relationship on earth. And next, the last thing, and we'll get into this next week, but we're out of time. Proverbs 15, the things that cause strife is communication problems. Big, big, big one. This is probably more than finances, I believe, because financial problems usually become escalated because of people not being able to communicate properly. Proverbs 15 and verses 1 through 4. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the righteous useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of the fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Can I tell you? It says a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. How you say something is as important as what you say. Very important. Watch. I'm going to say the same word, and I'll get a totally different reaction. Ready? What? What? Same word. How are you going to react? you walk up to me and say, "Pastor, I want to talk to you about your sermon." What?
What?
You're gonna. It changes everything how you say things. You can say, "Hello." Hello. Same word. How you say something makes a big difference. Grievous words, soft words, how you say things is very important. And you've got to learn how to speak sweetly and softly and know how to do that. There's time to rebuke. You got to know how to do that. Yeah, but understand, you've got to learn how you say things, how you approach people. If you walk up to somebody and say, "I want to talk to you about something you're doing," don't expect it to go well. You walk up and say, "Can we have a talk about something you're doing?" That'll go better. And so communication is very, very important, and learning how to say things right, and learning how to communicate, and learning how to say things sweetly. It's amazing that you can have wounds from a friend who are very sweet and nice, and you barely know they just rebuked you. Then there's somebody else who can be saying nice things and you're offended. Because a lot of it's how you say things. And communication is a big, broad thing. We'll deal with the whole thing next week. But I just want you to know, these are that's one thing that brings up a lot of strife. And be very careful. Understand, men, we don't get wounded by words very much. We can be, and men can be. But in general, it's not as heavy. Women, they will get wounded much more quicker by your words. They're much more verbal than we are. I can tell a man you're ugly, and he'll forget it 5 minutes later. He'll say you're ugly too, and we don't care. And you say, tell a woman she's ugly, and she's looking in the mirror 15 years later still, finding the faults. Because you got to be very careful how you say things. You got to be careful when you're bringing something up that you don't sound like you're criticizing, or you're just asking a question. All these things of communication are very important, and we've got to learn how we say things. And there's a lot of Bible verses on that. We'll get to next week. All right. Those are causes of contention. Let's be careful about those things. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to learn about these relationships. Help us know how to say things, Lord. Help us to be blessings. Lord, help us to know how our priorities are right in our marriage, and help us to be agreed and to be humble. And Lord, we thank you for the Word of God that shows us these things. May we have victory in these things, and may your Spirit rest upon us as we have homes that are godly and sweet and happy. And thank you for the Bible and its teaching on these things, and especially, Lord, only by pride comes contention. May we swallow our pride. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll be back in about 12 minutes for main service.
Sure.